Thank you, and welcome. A very Merry Christmas to you and yours from everyone at podbash.com. This is the Radio Ronin Show.
Yay!
After the long break, we're so excited to be here. My name, Chunga. It's Jimmy Chunga, if you're nasty. Right over there, the lovely, the talented Mr. Kenny D.
Oy, nay.
The hipster's hipster, Greg Pascal, is filling in.
Hello.
You decided to sit in because we were doing a different show, which I'm very, very excited about. We'll talk about here in a second. The sparkly, the effervescent... The brooding and punishing, just Jess.
Brooding and punishing.
She's kind of weird. She's kind of weird tonight.
Okay.
Kind of?
She's kind of like,
it's because I'm wearing my Batman jacket.
Oh, is that what it is?
Maybe.
The Batman jacket is doing?
Either that or she has pneumonia.
I don't have pneumonia.
Or PTSD.
One of those.
I don't know what it is. Something like that. I don't know what's
What would
going.
The PTSD be from?
I don't even know.
I think her video games.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or all sense. The anime my, she's
my
been
video
watching.
Yeah, it's the it's anime.
Be
the anime.
Being forced to watch subbed episodes, it's killing me, guys. It's killing me.
And the smartest man in the room, right over there, Mr. DJ Spinari.
What up?
We were off last week.
Sorry.
It was Thank you, Kenny. It was definitely not the way we wanted to start our new run with Podbash. definitely
we take breaks
not.
Here and there.
Everybody got really sick, namely Greg. Jess is still sick.
A little bit.
Is still over there dying.
Yeah.
The only ones that weren't sick were me and Kenny. We were fine.
Yeah.
We were just great.
I almost came over one night just to come over and hang out.
You should have. I was well.
Yeah.
Spinari
Kenny,
was kind of sick.
I can get you sick if you want.
No, thanks. I'm good.
I've got ways.
He big wants to make out with you is what he's saying.
What do you mean you got ways?
Bump me, Kenny. That's what he's saying. Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. So much stuff to go over.
You know, you guys, yes. You guys did a show with Greg, right?
We
I got something to bring up,
Greg.
But I want you guys to talk about this.
Well,
first.
Greg is doing some side episodes of Greg's new music guide, and I'm proud to say
bonus
that bonus episodes. He decided to highlight Spinari and I and our music, and I'm honored that you did. And yeah. I hope everybody goes and checks it out. I'd be grateful if you did.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to start a. Kind of a little side podcast to feature various local artists, and I couldn't think of two local artists more that I would like to have on the first episode of it than DJ Jimmy Chunga and DJ Spinari.
That's so nice.
Sweet.
Thank you.
So nice. Awesome. Thank you. It was a lot of fun to do.
We listened to some of their mixes and some of their original stuff, and it was awesome.
Yeah,
we danced.
It was fun, and we danced.
You did
I'm
dance?
I'm still winning.
Did you record it?
We told the story about how he beat you in a dance-off at one of our gigs.
He only beat me because he did the truffle shuffle.
That's exactly. Go listen to the episode.
He showed his stomach, and we were all wowed.
Yeah. Everybody just stops in their tracks when they see my big, hairy belly. They're just like,
I was playing, and like even the music stopped.
Yeah. No, I did the shimmy and everything. I did the skeleton knee cross. You know, we all know that one.
I did see that.
And I thought, hey, I've got this guy right where I want him, like a white guy. And then Greg did the truffle shuffle.
I think in all my years of playing music, peering through the lasers that are shooting over your head, and the music is intoxicating, and you're almost dizzy from the decibels that are hitting you, and you're trying to concentrate, and you look down and you see Kenny doing the knees cross thing through the laser beam.
Rolling the dice,
man. I have arrived.
You're welcome.
And then Jess showed up as the show was ending, dressed like Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington.
You were in all black and white stripes. You look cool as hell. You look great. But she showed up after the last song had ended.
Yeah, she goes.
People are clearing out, and she's like, I'm ready to rave.
I think she said, this counts, right? For being a good friend.
I can say I showed up. Exactly.
So sorry.
So anyway, can I just put this plug out? Because we talk a little bit about this in Greg's show. We are going to be starting a new music channel.
Yay!
On podbash.com. We've got Greg's new music guide. Greg's Guide to New Music, excuse me. And that focuses on a lot of indie rock and alternative rock and guitar-based bands. You cover everything, but that is really kind of the core nucleus of what you do.
The stuff I tend to lean towards the most is the alternative rock, punk, and ska. So
yeah, that kind of sound.
Those things are mostly the big focus. But yeah, I'm kind of all over the place.
So we are starting a new music channel called Bash Music. And we're really excited about this. We're probably going to be starting it either later this week or early next week. So keep watching the social media. Keep checking back to podbash.com. What we're going to do, what is Bash Music? It is going to be live mixing.
Awesome.
So we're once a week, we're going to be doing a live mix. So we'll give you the time, and you can tune in. If you can't come to one of the shows and listen to a DJ live, you feel uncomfortable going to a club because of your front butt or whatever, you can come to. You can go to. Hey,
shuffle,
I do.
Shuffle.
I feel. Yeah, no. Yeah. The tree. I knew he was going to do it right there. But you can fire up the Bash music and you can listen to Spinari play live.
Awesome. Yeah.
We're going to spin live once a week, and then those mixes will be available 24/7 once they actually happen. If you are a DJ, if you're listening to this right now and you are a DJ and you want to be featured on Bash Music, all you have to do is email me personally, jimmychunga.jc@gmail.com. And you can send me a little bio about yourself, send me a sample mix. We may be picking you to be featured on Bash Music. And, hell, you know, there's so many DJs out there being heard by several thousand people through Bash Music. It'd be a pretty good thing for your career. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
We want to showcase not only Spinari and I, but DJs all over the world.
Awesome.
So especially if you're in Utah and you want to come in and spin live, that's a possibility. I'm going to be calling some of my Vegas DJ friends, and they'll be playing as well. So
sweet.
Bash Music is going to launch very, very soon. It's just going to be some more of the live content, which you guys have been bugging us about for a very long time. We're going to try and do more live content with Pod Bash as the months and weeks roll on.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
So cool.
Really bummed that we were not on the air over Thanksgiving, though.
No.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Jess. So, guys, I've had a strange day today.
You have had
Can
a strange
tell you about
day
that?
Okay.
So, and I'm not saying it's bad, necessarily, but I show up to work, and Joel from Bacon Cell, he says, hey, would you mind going on Twitter and just look up these two keywords? Look up Leo and Bear.
Oh, I thought it was going to be he and she.
So, I look this up, and I'm like, Leo, Bear, and I see all these tweets referencing an article that
went
viral today.
Okay.
And I don't know what this is.
And apparently the Drudge Report, and you know how credible the Drudge Report is, but they have an article that got a lot of popularity, and it says, DiCaprio raped by bear in Fox movie. Leonardo DiCaprio raped by bear.
That sounds like a pretty standard.
So he's in a new movie called The Revenant, which comes out Christmas Day,
which has Tom Hardy in it again. It's another DiCaprio Hardy joint.
Yes, and I'm totally okay with that. It's one
I am too, actually.
I've been looking forward to it forever. But after I saw that, and there were hundreds, if not thousands, of tweets,
sure,
about, you know, terrible puns about bears.
Yeah,
like it was a grizzly affair.
Okay, hold on. Do we need to explain to people that they call large, gay, hairy men bears?
That as well. Yeah.
Was there a reference to that?
There was. I mean, it's Twitter. What do you think?
Okay.
And so everyone is saying, and this is my morning, like me researching this, like I could work or I could research Leonardo DiCaprio getting raped by a bear. One article said he was raped twice by a bear. And everyone's saying he's trying so hard to win a Best Actor Oscar.
He'll take one in the poop shoot with a bear.
With a bear.
Yeah.
And so I was fascinated. And I went over to everyone. I'm like, hey, did you see the news today? And they're like, oh, no. Is there something going on? You know, presidential. I'm all, bear rape.
You know, I've said this for a while. I think all the DiCaprio, by the way, until he wins an Oscar, I refer to him as DiCaprio.
Oh, my gosh. He's Susan Lucci to me right now.
Oh, this guy is a phenomenal actor. Quite possibly the greatest actor of our generation.
Close.
A lot of people would think that. I think he's fantastic. Yeah. I've never seen a movie that he's been in that I haven't liked.
Man on the Iron Mask.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah,
that's,
you're right.
That's the only one that comes to my mind, honestly.
Yeah, that's the only one.
Yeah.
And it was okay. I mean, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, he was just, that was a face.
But but why this man has not won a Best Actor Oscar, I will not understand. The only reason that I can think he does is because there's not one movie that he will be in. Not one. Where he isn't crawling on the floor with poo face. Not one.
That's kind of what he does.
Yeah, he did it in The Departed.
Yeah.
He did it in Titanic.
Wolf of Wall Street for sure.
Wolf of Wall Street with the Quaalude scene.
Yeah.
Yep. And now he's doing it again in the bear rape movie.
Are you Are you saying crawling poo face keeps him from winning the Oscar?
I think it might.
Because it's trying too hard?
I think they think he's probably trying too hard. It's like Charlize Theron.
And you know he was doing poo face in Gilbert Grape, too.
He was totally doing. I still see that kid in Gilbert Grape in every movie that he does. Inception, all I see is Gilbert Grape. So, or we could call him Gilbert Rape. anyway.
Yay.
I think it's like when Charlize Theron wants to be taken seriously, she hacks herself up and gains weight.
Oh, yeah.
And she's,
yeah.
You know, and then everybody just kind of rolls their eyes in the Academy. They're all like,
transformation. We get it. Yeah, we love you anyways.
Can we check? Has she won an Oscar for any of those? I think she did one. Yeah. And I think he's kind of employed that theory a little bit. If he would just look good, like when he's wearing the tux in Titanic, and he was just kind of like our version of like the new Rock Hudson or something
like
that.
Well, Wolf of Wall Street was close, even though it was a pretty scandalous role.
And very greasy.
It was a very greasy role. Yeah.
I thought that movie was fantastic. I think he should have won an Oscar for Wolf of Wall Street. You didn't like that one.
Too much for me.
I loved it. Shannon loved it. I still won't let Spinari see it.
He's way
too young. At 19 years old, he's too young.
But you know what he's not young enough or too young for?
Bear rape. Yep.
Yeah. I did see this, though. I saw the trailer for this, and I went, I can't wait to hear what Kenny thinks about this, because Bo Spinari and I said in one sentence, that looks totally awesome, and then I was thinking to myself, I am not paying money to see it.
Okay. Why would you say that?
Just because I'll wait till it comes out on video. I just don't want to go. I don't want to invest the time to go to a movie theater to watch DiCaprio crawl around in the mud with a beard. I'm not that interested. It looks fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
It's nearly 3 hours long as well.
Ooh, there's another problem with it.
What?
That's another.
Too long.
Yeah. When the Lord of the Rings movies came out, I was in a really weird place. I don't know what it was. I just hated them. I think I was a little Kenny-ish. I was a little hipsterish.
What are you saying? Like you kind of wanted it to fail?
I kind of wanted it to fail just because of all the hype around it. And so I went and saw them and didn't really like them. And so now I'm really into them, and I think they're phenomenal, and I can't watch them enough, and I think they're fantastic.
Well, at that time, you were, like, consumed by media. Every day you had to talk about it.
Every day I had to, and I had just had enough. Yeah, and just wasn't buying the hype. And so I finally got Jess to bring over the Fellowship of the Ring, the big, long four-hour version of it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I can't wait. I'm so excited to watch, you know, some very effeminate British guys talk about crispy bacon and potatoes. So I'm thrilled about it. But I think that may be what's happening to me with this other DiCaprio movie, is that I'm kind of like, okay, enough of the Tom Hardy and his weird voices that he likes to do.
In every movie.
In every movie now.
Yeah.
Ever since, what was that one that we saw, dude?
Lawless.
Lawless,
yeah. Which we love.
He was Wilford Brimley in that movie, basically.
He pretty much was.
A tough Wilford Brimley.
Yeah. He played it great. I thought he was fantastic. I thought Shia LaBeouf was great in that. Yeah. But now Tom Hardy, it's like wacky voice movie. It's like Will Ferrell and his kooky wig movies.
No, he's in a movie called Legend where he plays twin brothers, twin gangsters from London.
Uh-huh.
And one of the brothers is just like a cockney guy. You can barely understand him. The other guy is even worse. You can't understand a thing he says.
Hey, I should do that like, kind of. Oh,
Bane may be Tom Hardy's like loudest voice, the most recognizable voice. You're like, oh, okay, I know what you're saying here.
Uh-huh.
And
that whole movie is like, tell me what the hell, Bruce Wayne. And you're like, what? What the hell did he just say?
I don't know, but it's probably scary.
I am some sort of master of evil. What? I don't know what he just said. I like cornflakes, I have no mood.
Did he say, I eat cornflakes, they help my mood?
I want cornflakes, but I have no mouth.
They help my mood.
It's a Tom Hardy, he's tough for me to... I would love to see him as James Bond, where they wouldn't allow him to do...
Yeah, to mumble a little bit.
To mumble, yeah.
But, so anyways, this Revenant thing, it's gained so much press today that Fox, a couple hours ago, had to come out and say, look, there's a bear mauling, but there is no rape. Leonardo DiCaprio is not rape.
I had to actually issue a statement. He's like Ned Beatty in Deliverance. People are thinking this is really happening.
No. And I'm going...
You're kidding me.
I go, this is a conspiracy. Like, I cannot wait to see this movie because...
No, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. I'm going to hold it. Wait.
Yeah.
How many sitting at this table right now actually thought that Leo DiCaprio was raped by a bear in this movie? Okay, so nobody. So some executive somewhere said people are really buying this. Nobody's that dumb. Nobody's thinking that there's really a bear rape in
the
movie.
But I wanted there to be a bear rape in the movie.
I think we all. By a show for everybody sitting around the table here, who wanted there to be a bear rape in the movie? Yeah, see, it's unanimous.
We're all raising our hands.
Exactly.
And not only that, but the article that said twice, I'm like, well, what happened there? Like, he's like, oh, I'll be back. And Leo's like, all right. You know? I mean, what happened there?
Okay.
So I went and saw The Revenant tonight.
Oh, you did not.
And I can't.
You got to see it early?
I can't tell you how I feel about it for about 3.5 weeks.
You're embargoed? You saw it that early?
I'm embargoed till Christmas.
Really?
But I can confirm about the rape. Why are we talking about rape so much? I'm sorry to bring this on to the show.
You can confirm that there is a bear rape in the movie?
There's no bear rape in the movie. But because I was looking for it.
I was waiting for Jess's wah-wah.
There was thrusting. Because the bear mounts him. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bear destroys him. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, how did they film this? This is incredible. And I would say the bear got to second base.
Really?
Yeah. Very clearly second base.
Can I just tell you, I was in a movie with a bear once. The son of the bear that played Ben in Grizzly Adams.
Okay, yeah.
A huge, massive grizzly bear that I had an instant bond with. We would get in water fights, me and this bear. This is no joke.
That's terrifying.
I would shoot water at it out of a hose, and then it would take the puddle at its feet and fling the water at me. That's what it was. And so I had a really good rapport with this bear. But even though I had this amazing rapport with this gigantic, like 8,000-pound, huge grizzly bear, mm-hmm. any sort of scene that was shot where they had to have an actor interacting with the bear, they would take a trainer, put him in a bear suit, and he would act it out, and then they would CGI the bear.
Okay.
So you would get the live action bear and the bear would walk by you and you would do different stuff with the bear.
Yeah.
But if there was ever an attack scene, it was never really a bear because apparently they can turn on you. If they get that instinct,
if they're tasting
they can turn
blood.
On you. Or even smelling fear,
yeah.
They'll turn on you in an instant. So
if they're play attacking, pretty soon they're going to really be attacking.
The director of this movie, he's known, you know, the guy who did Burn Man, he's known for doing long takes and it doesn't cut. There's a bear attack, and I'm like, how did they do this? It looks so real.
Well, I've actually worked with a terrifyingly huge bear on a film. Anytime I was in a scene with the bear, I had an electric fence around me. That's no joke. They had the bear on the other side of the electric fence, and then they had multiple trainers there, and they had to shoot with the, you know, I'm playing an angel and there's this massive killer grizzly bear next to me. And it's very unsettling when you're trying to focus on a character and acting. When you see guys standing there with like cattle prods and electric fences and all kinds of stuff like that, because even the most docile bear that was bred in captivity, who is the son of the Grizzly Adams bear, they were that afraid. And the Humane Society had to be on set to make sure that the bear was treated a certain way at all times and that safety was monitored at all times. So I would be very surprised if it was actually a bear that they used to
attack. I wonder.
Him.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I can't imagine them. Because I have the experience, I can't imagine them.
DiCaprio
using
wants
a real
that
bear.
Oscar.
I guess so. It's like, man, I'll lose a leg.
Yeah, that's kind
I'll
of
be
the
bear
risk.
Food. I'll be bear food for, you know,
that
for
sounds
an Oscar.
Like something a flight attendant Roy would say.
I'm bear food.
Anyway,
eat me, grizzly bear.
So I'll leave it at that. I won't be able to talk about The Revenant for a few weeks.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, it looks I can tell by the time of year they're releasing this, if they actually have the stones, which is crazy in my opinion, to release it against Star Wars, they're trying to get it out in time to get DiCaprio an Oscar. That's the only reason they're releasing it right now, is to make it Oscar eligible. So, okay, well, I'm bummed that you can't.
I know. We'll talk
review it.
We'll talk
about
it.
That sucks. Okay. Why don't you just do it? Nobody listens to this damn thing.
Yeah, right.
Only about 80,000 people. Okay, so do we have other movies that we're going to review later in the...
We do.
Please tell me Krampus.
Krampus
have
isn't still...
It?
No, no. Krampus comes out this Friday.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a screening, so I
what?
Can't say anything about it.
They didn't screen it for critics, Greg.
So can we all go together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. No,
I'm excited.
I am going to see Krampus with bells on. This movie, I'm looking forward to Krampus more
than Babadook. Do you, are you more excited about this one than Babadook?
More than Star.
Shut up.
Don't you dare. Shut
no.
up.
Come on.
Shots
okay,
fired.
I'm kidding, but at the same time, like, I'm hoping to really enjoy Krampus, and Star Wars I'm just nervous for. We've talked about this a million times.
Is Krampus... Now, I remember the very first slasher movie. Greg, you would know this. The very first slasher movie was a movie called Silent Night, Deadly Night, which created the entire slasher genre. Is this a remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night? Is that what this is?
No, because Krampus, and we don't know a lot about Krampus here in America. Because it's very...
It's an actual legit legend, though.
It's Eastern European folklore.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So
I didn't know that it was a legit...
Krampus is basically a goat man. He is what we kind of think of when we think of, like, the devil with hooves and
cloven
walking up.
Hoofed. Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And in many countries, Krampus rides shotgun with Santa. Krampus is the anti-Santa.
Why is he riding in the same sleigh with him then?
Because they are like yin and yang, and if Santa says, that boy is naughty, Krampus will go beat him with a rod.
Go get him, Krampus.
Yeah, uh-huh. And if someone's good, they give him a present.
You know, that's weird because Krampus is my grandpa's name on my dad's side.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Krampus?
Yeah, we called him Grandpa Krampus.
It's because he was demonic.
He wasn't very nice.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
He worked at Kennecott. So, anyway, okay, so we can talk about movies.
I've got
movies later.
We have a Thanksgiving movies to catch up on and some indies that I haven't mentioned. So,
speaking of Thanksgiving, did anybody go out for Black Friday? Did anybody do anything on Black Friday?
Not till the afternoon.
You actually went shopping?
Yeah, I actually did go shopping, but I waited till the crowds cleared out. And all the grumpy people were gone.
You know what's weird is that this was the year that we did that too.
Oh, yeah?
We normally go out Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. We go out and just brave the insanity. We've had some Samoan flash mobs singing glee songs. We had a toothless lady at Walmart offer her cherries to us. We've had some of the weirdest stuff happen on Black Friday. That's the weird thing about this year is that nothing weird happened.
That's
about
too bad.
Black Friday. It was
you went a little too late. I think
we did what Greg did. We went out in the afternoon. We went to bed and got up and went out the next day, and everybody was fine and docile. But I do have some secrets that I want to share with you. Can I do this? It's very domesticated.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very Martha Stewart of me, and I don't want people to roll their eyes. But I found something out, and it's important enough that I think I need to share it with everybody. Black Friday is kind of a ripoff. And some people will probably already know this, but we started Christmas shopping early, and we found out like 2-3 weeks before the Thanksgiving holiday kicks in, the deals are 1,000% better than they are on Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like way better because they're so desperate to try and jumpstart sales. We got all of our Christmas shopping pretty much done, and then we went out the night before. Whoa. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. We went out the night before Thanksgiving. So Wednesday night, we went to the mall on Thanksgiving, okay? And all of the Black Friday doorbuster deals were out because they're going to be closed on Thanksgiving. They open like late on, so they get everything set up ahead of time.
Nice.
And they're like, well, yeah, we'll sell it to you. We're not going to wait to sell you something you want. So I got all the Black Friday doorbuster deals way before anybody else did on Wednesday night.
Dude.
Nice.
We cleaned up. I mean, scored. Like, really cleaned up. Like, really high-end Nike shoes for like $40. All kinds of craziness. And so don't listen to me. Go out on Wednesday night from now on.
Well,
the night before Thanksgiving, go out shopping.
That's great advice because it's so rare that you actually get a doorbuster wherever you go.
Because they're limited.
They're so limited. And if you just look at the ads, the deals that they have on there for like Target, Walmart, Best Buy, whatever, are no better than any other time. For example, I was in the market for a TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want a 60 to 70 inch TV.
You have been coveting. You've been coveting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been breaking a commandment. You've been coveting this TV. You have talked to me how many times? I've been sending you pictures of TVs everywhere I go for like 6 months.
And honestly, there was a TV you sent me about 4 months ago.
Yeah. Best Buy.
And I wish I had you buy it for me.
Because I was going to pick it up for you.
It was a better price in July than it was on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, I don't even want a TV anymore. Like, I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Like, these deals suck.
Well, in just a few, like, we were trying to shop online Cyber Monday,
mm-hmm.
and there was this big thing on Foot Locker, and I'm naming names because they screwed people.
Okay.
So bad, Foot Locker did. Spinari and I are total sneakerheads. Way bad sneakerheads. And so they were doing this big thing. Everything, absolutely everything on footlocker.com is 20% off. And we were like, oh, hell. Get on there and let's grab a bunch of Jordans and all kinds of stuff, because 20% off on every shoe is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, then we come to find out, well, no, they just took all the sales off that they were doing, because we were thinking like 20% off, and we were just on footlocker.com a couple of days earlier and there were some pretty good deals already. So I thought they were just going to be crazy phenomenal deals. And what they did was they took all the sale prices off. So you were literally paying more on Cyber Monday.
Wow.
Then you were like by $10, $20 more per pair of shoes than you were just a few days earlier.
It's kind of like going to Kohl's at any point and being like, buying something. Because you know how Kohl's always says 30% off, 30% off. And you're like, that's pretty sweet. But if you ever buy something regular price there, you are a sucker.
Yeah.
Because it should always be on sale.
You should never buy anything regular price at Kohl's to begin with.
No. Yeah. Come on. Seriously.
If you're paying that much money, go somewhere good.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I've ever been inside of a Kohl's.
Don't.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
There's no reason for me to go.
Yeah. It's not a happy place. It's kind of like when you go to Red Lobster. I love Red Lobster, but every time you go into Red Lobster, no one is smiling.
It is the Red Lobster of department stores.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
in the world?
Yeah, I know. I'm great that way.
I didn't say that, but you are.
You walk into a Red Lobster and everyone is staring at their shoes and no one is smiling. That's the way I feel every time I go into a Kohl's, which has been one time. Can I just tell you, I've only been once.
Several times, and I feel that way every time I go in.
Yeah.
You go in and you're like, I don't want to buy anything here.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, there's a lot of Tony Hawk shirts. Yeah.
They've got the best decor and apparel that 1998 could bring you.
Right?
Yeah. I went there one time to buy a pair of Chuck Taylors. I succeeded. I got my Chucks.
Yeah.
And I was out the door, and I'm like, I'm never going there again. Because it made me feel uncomfortable.
I found one dress that I liked there. One.
At Kohl's?
Yeah.
Did you buy it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
It was super on sale.
Well, see,
it was 30% off, 30%
yeah.
off.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, though. Next year, you can take me with you the night before.
Come with us, because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
It was a ghost town.
Yeah.
And I even took a picture and put it on my Facebook page, and you can see I was at Macy's, this big doorbuster sign. It says, here are your door, and you can see, if you can go on my Facebook right now and look, there are tables and tables and tables of shoes, women's shoes that were just piled up that they were getting ready to sell, and they were like, oh yeah, you can buy them now. You don't have to wait for Black Friday.
What?
You can just buy them now. Yeah, it was crazy.
Huh.
So you got to do that, and just start your shopping early. Don't worry about Black Friday anymore. It's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a fool's game is what it is.
Kevin thinks that they hike the prices up just before Black Friday.
They do.
And then drop them back down.
Well,
they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone gets excited about a 40 to 50 inch TV that is $150, right?
Yeah.
It's because they make a terrible TV specifically for Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they'll make
they
one.
Do. No, that's true.
Well, it's usually some off brand that you've never heard of before.
Yeah, Hisense something like that.
In fact, I think we have our studio monitors are Black Friday TVs.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, they are.
Yeah, that
because
works.
Because I think we got them both for like, they were like $120 or something like that. But they work great. Luckily for us, they work fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fantastic. We went and looked at Apple monitors and we're like, we actually like our cheap TVs better. No, seriously, they work better. So, but I think we lucked out.
I wonder if people are just going to catch on in there. It's not going to be a Black Friday anymore. You know, I know for the economy, like, this is very good, but there are so many stores like Walmart and Amazon did their, you know, fake Black Friday thing, like, 4 months early.
Yeah.
Which weren't super great deals, but I wonder if they're just, like, the myth is, we've caught on, basically.
I would think that over time, it may take a while, but I think over time, it'll probably fade a little bit.
Yeah.
I think people like to go out. We talked about this in the last podcast where... I think it's a big family event. I think people like to go out. I think Thanksgiving has kind of changed a little bit, and I know that a lot of people have a problem with that, and I've got some facts that you guys might be surprised about. But I think it's a big family bonding thing, and families like to go out. It's kind of like having a read-a-thon with your family. You can go out in your jammies and get away with it, and it's like a big, fun kind of bonding.
Fist fight.
Yeah.
But I could see that changing because the deals really were not – this was the first year that I kind of – kept track. Shannon is she watches these reality shows with these super couponers and stuff. It's crazy what she can do.
Yeah.
And so she turned me onto this app called Shopkicks. Have you heard about this thing?
No.
Shopkicks. Every single person listening to me, and they're not paying us for this at all, but every single person should download Shopkicks. It's an app.
Yeah.
Because what you do is if you turn on Shopkicks and you go walking into these stores, they give you points just for going into the stores. So we're out walking around. Before I knew it, I had built up enough points that I went to Barnes & Noble and then to Target and got books for free. I got like really cool books for Christmas. Huh. For free.
For walking into like two stores.
Just because I didn't, because I just built up enough money for, or enough points to get gift cards.
Books don't sell anymore, so they probably just give them away.
Hey.
Well, you guys, true story. You know, this group here, no, we love books. We all read like crazy. Yeah. And so Spinari got books, I got books. I didn't pay a dime for them.
Wow, very cool.
It's crazy the deals that they have. So Black Friday isn't really necessary is what I'm saying. Nowadays, it's not as necessary as it was back in the day.
I think it's dangerous for me to download an app right now.
Why?
Well, because I downloaded a Slick Deals app last week, thinking, hey, this will help me in my search for a TV.
Yeah.
And there was one night, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I'm kind of, and I remember I texted you guys maybe.
You and this TV. You know, did you ever see the movie Collateral?
Yeah.
With Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx. Yeah. Jamie Foxx is like, yeah, man, I'm going to get my own limo. I'm going to buy my own limo. And Tom Cruise asks him, yeah, how long you had this? My 12 years. That's so you on the TV.
Me and the 70-inch TV.
Like 12 years from now, you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get me a TV.
I'm going to get me a 70-inch LED.
Yeah, it's going to be AMOLED. That's totally going to be curved. That's going to be you with this damn TV. So you downloaded an app to get this TV?
Well, yeah. So I'm like, oh, this will be good. And right before I went to bed one night, I was pretty tired. I'm like, I'm going to see what deals are going on. It's pretty much Black Friday. And I look at it, and all of a sudden I see, hey, oh, it's an Xbox One. 1 terabyte with Fallout 4.
Yes, you're buying an Xbox!
No, and I sat there and I go,
the fanboy!
And it says $300, and I'm just like, well, I mean, that's a pretty good price. And then I closed my phone, and I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed. And I sat there and thought about it for about 15 minutes, because I don't like to be too impulsive.
Sure.
In anything.
The TV is a great example.
All right.
I was taking pictures like 6 months ago of a TV.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, hold on. I might find a better deal.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sitting there and I go, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I go, I have some money in my PayPal. I'm like, yeah, $300. That's cool. It's an Xbox. And I turn off my phone and I wake up the next morning. I'm like, did I just buy an Xbox last night? Oh, crap. What?
What have I done?
What did I do?
That's Kenny's version of having a one-night stand with a hoochie in a club. And then waking up and going, oh, where's my keys? Where's my chonies?
I felt regret. I walked out of the house without pants on, running away.
Yeah,
from,
it's you like know, you just wake up in the morning, I got to wipe this off on the drapes, and I got to get the hell out of here.
Because anyone who knows me knows I'm a Sony loyalist.
Oh, yeah. You forced Spinari and Jess to get a PlayStation.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Which we both went and got Xboxes after.
Yeah, you did. And I have never cared for an Xbox because I don't really see the point because the same games are on both systems and I like the exclusives more on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been fine. But I'm like, $300 can't beat that.
For a console and a terabyte hard drive, you really can't.
Actually. Yeah.
And games.
And Fallout.
And
games.
Fallout.
Yeah, that's
and
a pretty
so
good deal.
And so I haven't got it yet.
It's
in the mail.
So wait a minute.
But
we're having dinner.
Yeah.
Which you bought, by the way, and thank you. It was fantastic.
No,
but we're having dinner, and you're already shitting on your Xbox.
I am.
You're just killing it.
I don't like it at all.
You don't even have it yet? I thought you had it and had been playing it.
No.
Jess is over there just rolling her eyes, like, whatever.
Like, you guys are like, yeah, the controller's better. I'm like, no, it's not.
You don't even have it yet.
Who cares? I still regret the choice.
Oh my gosh.
Here's my train of thought. I think worst case scenario, I keep the Xbox and I have an Xbox for some weird reason.
Because it's awesome.
But also, if I want to, I could sell it for more than I bought it, which is an option. I could give it to my sister. She wants to get, you know, the kids an Xbox.
Yeah.
So
you could give it to me.
Greg really wants
one. You could
give
it to Greg.
I could just give it to Greg.
Mm-hmm.
You could use it to play online with the rest of us. Oh,
$400, Greg, $400. And so
I'll give you a hug.
So I don't know what to do. If I keep the Xbox and I just am a multi, I'm very monogamous, you know?
You are a little bit, yeah.
So I,
you know, Spinari's
sure
the
do.
Same way. He refuses to have two game consoles.
Yeah,
and so we've been an Xbox family forever.
Yeah,
I and one of the only real legitimate fights that he and I have ever gotten into is because he wanted to switch to PlayStation, and I've been an Xbox loyalist since they came out.
Yeah.
And we at one point we had a Wii and a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox at the
you,
same
no
time.
No one really has a Wii though.
I have a Wii.
Like it's no, it's yeah. there.
Just it was first, but it's, first it's
I have
like,
all the consoles.
It's more like an idea.
It was the year that it came out. Yeah. It was the year that it came out, and I went through a period of my life where I was doing very well financially, and if it was available and stupid, I would buy it.
Yeah.
I was just done. I had a Tiger, a gold tank, a grill. You know, I had it all.
Yeah.
So I had to have all three game consoles the year that they came out, which was so douchey of me. But we did have all three game consoles, and it was dumb. We didn't. We sold two of them and kept the Xbox.
Okay.
Yep.
So then he got a PS4, and I hated it the whole time. I hate the controllers. I hate the way it plays. It ate up too much of my Wi-Fi.
You didn't hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that
he didn't. He hated it.
He hates it in retrospect.
No, he really hated it.
No, I hated it. And so when I got the Xbox back, it was like going home again. You know, it was like a warm blanket. That's what it was.
You get Halo when Forza.
Big warm blanket shaped like a big VCR.
It's not the most attractive. No. I will give you that. The PS4 looks way cooler. It looks cooler.
Yeah. I cuddle with it at night.
The Xbox One, not that sexy.
No.
But it does everything that we need it to do and more. And it doesn't eat up all my Wi-Fi like the PS4 did. Jess has both.
She has both. I'm one of those that likes to collect all the consoles.
That's cool.
Because I play all the games.
Do you have a Wii U?
I don't have a Wii U.
Yeah. Never cared to, probably.
Not really.
Yeah.
Only if I wanted to play Zelda. Because I'm a Zelda fan.
I think that really it's just the Wii is kind of like for old people and handicapped kids.
Good night, everybody.
That's really what that's what the Wii's awesome for.
No,
it's cool for like a week for everyone.
They have fun games.
I'm good. Kenny, I don't know why you had to say that. That was just
like
wrong.
Racing, like you've got Mario Kart games on Nintendo.
I remember like, the
and
big
got,
release
like,
game was like a cool samurai one. And you just ran around and like hitting a dude in the head with a stick.
Yeah, you
and
just,
it wasn't fun.
No,
remember
it's,
when
it's
Matt
awful.
When we were doing all those GameStop remotes last year with Matt, and we couldn't say that Matt worked at GameStop because GameStop corporate they're just dicks.
Yeah,
but we were helping Matt out, and we were you know Matt from the 8-Bit Arcade, and we were trying to help him out, and we were doing a bunch of stuff, and they kept trying to get us to come out for the Wii releases. You guys need to come out and do a Podgoblin show for like the Super Mario Kart 19 or whatever it was. And we were like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're okay. We're good.
Yeah.
The
not
Pokemon
at all.
Pokemon releases.
That's all right. We're okay. Oh. We're not that into Pokemon.
So do I keep it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
But then I have to buy like Xbox Live for $60 a year. And,
And then play with us online. Oh, wait. You never do that.
Yeah.
I'm a single player kind of guy. I'm very monogamous. I don't like to share.
He's Littlefinger.
Yeah,
you are
kind of
Littlefinger.
Totally
you'll show up and play in a group game.
And then he'll leave halfway
second,
through.
And then he'll run away like halfway, like 2 seconds like, in. We see him run off.
He like shoots a guy and then we're like, where'd Kenny go?
Oh, he's giving us our friend points. Okay, I showed up. I played in your group thing. Now I'm off to do it.
Then he steals all the ammo and the health and then just runs away. And you leaves us stranded.
What's adorable is you guys are probably like chatting on the headset while texting each other at the same time through chain text.
Yes.
Yeah. And
what,
I just
what's weird about that?
I don't know. I don't know. That's not weird at all.
Actually, we have played online with Jess. Sorry, flight attendant.
My name
Roy.
Is Jess.
Jess, we've played online with once, but she has like Tourette's when she plays online, and we had to mute her.
It's because you. Really it's because you played Call of Duty with me, man.
And it was so profane. Like my neighbors, were like, "Is there like a domestic abuse going on over here? Is there?"
Yeah.
And so we're like, nope, no more.
No, she's more nasty. Jess.
Yeah.
I'm nasty.
Way worse than any dude I've ever played.
Yeah.
Way worse. So anyway, so back to the Black Friday thing. Don't waste your time with Black Friday.
No, it's all online. Yeah. It's all there. Obviously, the night before, it sounds
like. I would say, and even a couple of weeks before, I would say, look, if it's a big family bonding thing and it's fun for you guys to go out in the middle of the night and go to all the stores, that's you're going for a different reason than deals. Go for that reason. Don't go expecting to save a ton of money because it's just you're just not going to do it.
Seems like a weird way to bond, though, to be stressed out.
Some people
being
like
attacked
it, man.
By a very large black lady with a pool noodle.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Oh, yeah, you saw that video.
Yeah, I saw that video. It was bad. Why she was buying a pool noodle in November, I don't know.
Who's selling pool noodles in November? It must have been in like a warm climate.
Yeah.
A temperate zone. anyway, so yeah. So Black Friday was fun. Nothing weird happened. Anything weird happened to you, Greg? No?
No. I was in and out.
Kenny and Jess, you guys didn't go out.
No, I bought all my stuff online.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Did you buy anything this year, Jess?
I may have gotten all the Dragon Age games for like $20.
Don't you own them all?
Yeah, but I didn't have them on my computer.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
How many times have you beat each game?
Have I beat each game?
Yeah.
Like at least two or three.
Why did you rebuy them?
Because I'm playing them again.
Jess.
She's a beast. I'm telling you.
I replay games a lot.
She loves this stuff, dude.
Like, her skin is almost translucent at this point. She's inside so much. I don't know if she's just sick or she's a hermit.
She has been sick. Yeah.
Maybe.
She's going to be like Gollum.
But if you don't get fresh air, you'll be like Gollum.
Yeah.
Hey, I had like a week and a half break where I was too sick to play video games, so.
No.
Yeah.
You too sick to play video games?
I didn't even want to play video games.
She watched anime.
And it made me mad because I had to read subtitles. I didn't even want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Reading's good sometimes. Even.
I like reading. I don't like reading subtitles.
I think we've been over this topic like
19 times. Like 19 times.
Jess is an illiterate author. She's an illiterate writer. Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. So
let's make fun of the sick girl.
I know. Poor Jess is sitting over in the Jess chair. We call it the Jess chair. We have like a love sack on the nobody
diseased.
Sits on it but her. We seriously put that in the studio just for Jess.
Aww.
You're the only person that sits in it. It's your chair. But she's over there in her Cheshire Cat socks, not speaking to anybody before the show, which is very unusual.
I was eating food.
No, that was an excuse.
Okay.
You're like, I'm eating.
It was very quiet. It was weird.
Don't bother me.
Yeah. So, okay, so what else is going on this week? Not a whole lot of anything. Christmas is underway. Oh, I have the stats. I wanted to share these stats with you, and I've been excited to do this. I found out something. It's something that we've known in the radio industry for a long time. Mm. You're going to hate this, Kenny. I don't know where you're going to be on this, Jess. Greg, you're going to love it.
Oh,
Spinari loves it.
I'm looking forward to it.
I found out something. There is a music, a free digital music service called Music Choice, which runs on cable networks around the U.S.,
Yeah, Comcast has
Comcast it. Has it. Several cable providers use this. It's based out of New York. And
like Nielsen's? Like the Nielsen's ratings? Is that?
What do you mean?
No, I don't know.
Go ahead. Music Choice. It's basically, it's kind of like satellite radio, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
You have about 100 different channels, and it's commercial-free, and you can access it at any point, and just listen to music through your TV or whatever.
Cool.
You can also listen through your phone and all this kind of stuff. So Music Choice has been around for years and years and years, and a lot of people really, really enjoy using it. I think they're processed really well. I think they sound really good, actually.
Yeah.
All the different channels, audio quality-wise, they sound pretty good. Well, they released a statement the other day, and it blew my mind. And I don't really know why I was surprised, because we've known this in radio for years. But for so long, people have been complaining and really angry about Christmas music right after Halloween.
Oh,
yep. People have been really, really mad about this.
Jeez, Grinches.
Who would do that? Kenny is one of these people. We've had a lot of people. A lot of people locally in Utah, when I was doing radio in Utah, Kenny's doing radio in Utah, Jess, Greg, we were all there. And a couple of stations would switch like right after Halloween, and people would just, you know, they would get quite a bit of blowback from people. But we always knew from our research that we did at the end and within the building internally for the other stations that were in there that the overwhelming majority of people want Christmas music right after Halloween. They want the holidays. And it comes down to the amount of paychecks and the amount of Christmas shopping that you get to do based on where your paychecks fall.
Oh, okay.
So
the grumpiest are the loudest.
You know where I'm going with this. So basically, people don't want to just be able to have Christmas over their two paychecks while they're Christmas shopping. They want to be able to go out and feel festive and enjoy it and have all the holidays. And they no longer, because the economy being what it is, they can no longer do that in just a paycheck or two paychecks.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's that we had known this for years and years in radio, and that's why you see a lot of radio stations switching. And people would say, well, this is a Utah thing, and why do they have to do this? And the damn Mormons. And I heard everything.
Yes.
About Christmas. And then I worked at a talk radio station, news talk, political talk in Boston, and my radio group in Boston.
Hey, Jess.
Just enjoy that. Enjoy that, Jess.
How's that can of Diet Coke over there? She doesn't say a word.
Yeah.
But a can of Coke does the
talking. Silent Jess strikes again. So, anyway, so I'm in Boston. I get out to Boston, and there were, I think, 6 or 7 different radio stations in Boston that flipped to Christmas music right after Halloween. And nice. I was really, really excited about this. And I thought, well, cool, this isn't a Utah thing. So a couple of years later, I'm in Los Angeles, and the same kind of deal. Right after Halloween, Everything goes Christmas. And so you got guys like Kenny, Brad Davis, a lot of these guys, they piss and moan about seeing Christmas too early.
Absolutely.
Christmas is too early. Christmas is too early. Well, Music Choice released this statement saying that, and it was right, it was about a week before Thanksgiving. And they were saying, we're really, really excited about this. We switched our Sounds of the Season channel to Christmas music on November 2nd, basically the night of November 1st, but technically November 2nd.
Okay.
And ever since then, we have been a top 15 cable network on Sounds of the Seasons. A top 15. That's up there with Fox News. That's up there with Fox Sports. That's up there with
ESPN.
That
totally makes sense. Because that's always what we would listen to at my house. Like Thanksgiving dinner, we had Sounds of the Seasons on the background. On
this
cable.
Thing...
Or satellite.
Is a top this music choice, no commercial, no, I mean, it's just it's basically just a music loop that's running, playing Perry Como and Bing Crosby and stuff, is a top 15 cable network.
Nice.
And has been every day since it came on. So they're scrambling. So they've added more Christmas channels. They're taking other stations off to give different types of formats of Christmas channels. And they're keeping it on till January 12th because when they shut it off last year on January 4th or 5th or whatever it was, people went crazy.
Aww.
So they're leaving it on until all the way till January 12th. So the reason I'm telling people all of this is that when you hear people complain about seeing Christmas stuff too early, one thing that you need to understand is that there is an it's what Jess said, an extremely small but very loud group of people.
I don't know what
you're
talking
about. And the overwhelming majority, in fact, the percentiles are in the high 90% of the American populace, wants to have all of the festivities, all the decorations, all the stuff immediately after Halloween. That's what their research has shown. And so next year, about August, I'm going to put on my Christmas stuff. I mean, no, I'm totally kidding. But the reason I'm saying all of this is because I know there's a lot of people out there. I hear from all of them on my social media saying, it's so cool that you posted a picture of your Christmas tree early because I've been wanting to do this and I'm just too afraid of what my neighbors will think and things like that.
Yeah.
And the truth is your neighbors will probably be down with it.
Honestly, I asked my roommate the week before Thanksgiving. I'm like, hey, how do you feel about me putting up the Christmas tree? Didn't happen because then I contracted the plague.
Yeah, but she was cool with it.
Yeah,
huh?
She was totally cool with it.
Probably because you were cursed because you wanted to do it early.
Sure, okay. But we've had our Christmas lights on like all week and it's been awesome.
It's been fun, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that society, it's pretty much socially acceptable that once Halloween is over with, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're welcome. Everybody's down to it. When a little kind of mindless, no personality, having Sounds of the Season Music Choice channel can become a top 15 cable network in everyday part. That was the other thing, in everyday part. So it's like competing with the Today Show and the Tonight Show and, you know, Stephen Colbert.
Well, probably easily beat Stephen Colbert.
I've never watched it. But
it's not doing great.
The vice president of Music Choice was referencing these top cable shows, and it's also hanging in there. It's in the top 15, even when NFL football is on.
Nice.
So that should tell you something.
So
people
everyone
really
put up
this.
Your Christmas stuff the day after Halloween to make Kenny cry.
I'm just saying.
I'll just judge people. Music.
All I'm saying is that don't believe the hype when you hear a lot of people bitching about Christmas coming too early. The overwhelming majority of people actually want it to happen based on all the research. And we've known this for years in radio. That's why radio stations switch as early as they do, because they spend an enormous amount of money researching this stuff.
And
so
I believe I sent you a text about a week ago saying, yeah, right now I'm listening to the Beach Boys Christmas album on the turntable.
You did.
Yeah. While playing Fallout 4.
Yeah, this was this was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I need to talk about that in just a sec, but I just want to say one thing. The last Transformers movie made over $1 billion. Doesn't mean people were right for having seen it. All right?
Whatever.
Just because you're in the 90% doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I'm not making a judgment as to your character on either side. All I'm doing is just saying, look, if you want to have your decorations and your Christmas shit up, put it up.
Yeah.
You know, you're fine with it. Nobody's going to give you a hard time.
Screw you, Kenny.
That's what I was hoping
for. There you go.
So, Greg, you touched on something that actually I watched last week. I watched the Beach Boys biopic, Love and Mercy.
Ooh. Oh, John Cusack. See, I wanted to see that, but it went away really, really fast.
It did. It was in theaters. And it wasn't super wide release. It was pretty limited, kind of a festival movie.
Was it kind of an Oscar? They wanted to make it eligible
for Oscars? No, it was like May, June release.
Oh, it was a summer release.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so Paul Dano plays young Brian Wilson. John Cusack plays a little bit older Brian Wilson, basically in the 80s.
And can I just, I got to tell you, some people may think I'm crazy, but I think Brian Wilson is arguably the greatest songwriter in history.
He is a genius.
I think he's a genius. I think Eddie Vedder gets a lot of credit for writing songs. John Lennon gets a lot of credit for writing songs.
Yeah.
Elvis gets a lot of credit for writing songs. Brian Wilson should get all the credit for writing songs. I think the guy's a genius. I think he's phenomenal.
Well, I always kind of thought of the Beach Boys as oldies. Like, I never cared for the Beach Boys. I'm like, oh, Kokomo's a fun song.
Not a great song.
You know, I never really wanted to listen to it at all. It was, for me, an oldie station kind of band.
No Help Me, Rhonda.
No Help Me, Rhonda.
No Fun, Fun, Fun.
No
Dance, Dance, Dance.
Is there really a song called Dance, Dance, Dance?
Yes. You know it.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
No Salt Lake City.
Still no.
That's an all right song.
So, I watched this movie, and I was like, wow, Brian Wilson, he's really tormented, and I knew a little bit how messed up he was.
Yeah, he lost his mind.
And I will say that this movie is about as like uplifting as Southpaw when you're decorating your Christmas tree.
Yeah, don't.
It's a depressing movie.
Yeah, I knew it would be. I've got a little bit of a background with the Wilson family.
Yeah,
I had the same manager as Fat Carney and Wendy and
Fat Carney
and
Fat Carney.
Yeah, I know, so mean.
That's my punk band name.
Mickey Shapiro is my manager. Legendary manager. Mickey Shapiro was my manager for a while.
Yeah,
great guy, and he managed all those guys.
Awesome.
So I feel like there's a little bit of a bond there, even though it's totally not true. There is no bond there, but you know, he managed Fleetwood Mac and the Beach Boys and Wilson Phillips.
So what I want to say is, like, why didn't you guys tell me about the Beach Boys before? Because I watched this movie and I'm like, hey, Pet Sounds, I've heard a lot of good things about that.
I've known Greg's been a huge Beach Boys guy for years.
I'm a huge Beach Boys. I own many records.
And so I went to iTunes like immediately after watching
the movie.
You don't
know Pet Sounds?
No. And I went to iTunes and I'm like, I'll buy it. It's $9. And it's been playing nonstop.
Oh,
so the cold weather
incredible.
And everything, nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, way to go, movie. Like, you inspired me to love the Beach Boys.
Oh, the Beach Boys are just, I can't get enough. You were talking about Jess and her games.
Mm-hmm.
I think I own at least two or three copies of the Beach Boys' greatest hits that are just lying around just in case I lose one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. No, that's true. In fact, I just burned some into my brand new phone like 2 days ago.
But, like, I don't know why, like, for example, to Greg, I'm saying, ugh. That was kind of my attitude until I listened to it on the whole, and I'm like, because I'm an album guy.
Yeah.
I can't just hear a single and be like, yep, I like them.
Hipster.
I need to hear. No, it's not hipster. It's traditional
totally
music. It is an album. Some things are
I'm the same way. No,
given
I'm the
its
same.
Themes.
I love albums.
And for me, that album, I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Do I need to listen to other Beach Boys now?
Yes.
You definitely do, and I would even recommend going to check out, they did a remastered set of Pet Sounds where they have a lot of Brian Wilson's demos.
So oh,
you,
see,
you
I didn't
get
know
to
that
hear
cool.
kind of his thought process throughout the making
cool.
of the album, and it's awesome.
Yeah, that's you need all the Beach Boys stuff. I think any city or any location, any surf spot, any beach that's mentioned in a Beach Boys tune should be on the National Historic Register.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine, Justin. Don't worry about it.
So, Canada at Coke.
I didn't expect you to make noise.
She's a little off today. So what are you researching? What are you working on?
I don't know.
She flipped you off.
I know.
Like she'd get away with that.
Anyway.
So here's what I want to know. What other bands am I missing out on because of my stubborn behavior?
I feel like Kenny's missing out on a lot of stuff because you're stubborn.
I would agree with Jess.
I'm totally fine with that. Like, open my eyes. I mean, this is specifically why I joined a book club like years and years ago, because I'm like, well, this is kind of feminine. But you know what? Because it was me and like...
There was no end to
like
the hell
I cougars.
Gave you.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was like, yeah, I'm ready to broaden my horizons. Like, there's sometimes I need to remind myself, okay, I'm kind of stuck here. Let's open the bubble.
Well, so much.
Animals are great. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I would say Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
See, I'm already scoffing at that.
I know you are.
Yeah.
No, a lot of people do, because it's, R&B and disco, and we're way too cool for that, right?
Right.
Go listen to it. Or the Commodores. Go listen to it.
Are there albums Commodores that I should start with?
You know what I would tell you? To just start with the greatest hits. You know, if you're an album guy.
Nope.
If you're an album
has
guy.
Has to be an album.
Okay, let me do some research. And, okay. While you guys are talking, I will pick an album for you to go download of Earth, Wind, and Fire. And the Commodores, for that matter.
And is it... I wonder. I don't want it to be too disco-y. Like, I want it to almost precede when they got disco-y, if that's even possible.
No, listen. This is what I want you... We talked about this in Greg's show. Music is about one of two things, as all creative arts are. It's about control or submission. Most European audiences are all about submission. They want to be educated. They want to learn something new. They want to go to a place that they're unfamiliar with and kind of make a decision. But they always listen, most of them, generally speaking, will listen with an open mind.
Okay.
That's why a Western, an American DJ like myself can go play in Europe and do very, very well, because they're excited to hear somebody new.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't want you to have any preconceived ideas about, well, don't make it disco. Don't make it this. Don't. I just want you. Duke Ellington said, the great band leader Duke Ellington said, if it sounds good, it is good. Just put it in, put on some really nice headphones, and just listen to it. You've got badass headphones at home.
Yeah.
Just listen to it. Don't worry about the labels. Just listen to it.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Okay, so you guys talk. I'm going to find you an album that I want you to download. I'm going to find it right now.
And Kenny, go listen to Greg's Guide to New Music. Hey, there's lots of great stuff on there.
Imagine that. Yeah.
Well done, Greg. Jess, is there anything you think I should listen to, or anything you need to recommend?
I don't know. Have you ever listened to Starset? Go listen to Starset.
Is that a real band?
Good
it's a real
album. Band.
I'm
yes.
questioning everything you say
the
right now.
The theme song to an anime.
I've played them on my podcast.
Oh, the one
have
with
you played
Jess?
Starset?
Yeah.
I don't think I heard the
I've
Starset
played them
episode.
Like on three different episodes.
Oh my gosh, I love them so much.
I heard them on every
except
single one of your
except
episodes.
Except they're kind of rock, yeah. So I don't know, because you kind of hate rock.
Unbelievable.
You hate rock?
You guys.
Weezer's rock, right?
That song is incredible.
Weezer, yeah, that was pretty bad. I still
Kenny,
remember
I got
that.
Your back on that
yeah,
song.
Greg, the music guy, has my back on that one.
I got your back.
Yeah.
Not rock.
Okay.
Not rock.
Michael Jackson. Do you listen to?
Yeah, no, I love okay, Michael Jackson. Okay. But it actually took me a long time. Like, I hated Michael Jackson until I was, like, 18.
You're
and
kidding.
Then, no, seriously. And then I was in a Borders bookstore, and Billie Jean was playing. I'm like, who is this? This is awesome.
Yeah.
And someone like, this is Billie Jean, you moron. And I'm like, Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. I remember this song. And I bought History Part 1 and 2 immediately.
Good.
And yeah.
Boston.
Oh my gosh, I was going to say that.
Nah.
No.
Oh, dude.
Dude, Boston.
Go listen to Don't Look Back.
See, here's what I'm saying. I'm kind of stubborn, so it has to be kind of a slow burn. Like, it can't just be like, you love Boston.
I'll get you into Boston.
Honestly. Okay. Yeah.
We'll have a listening
Spinari
session.
Says no.
I'm kind of with Kenny. Just a little
what?
Bit. Just a little
no!
bit. Yeah.
Oh my
I need
gosh.
To be, educate me. I need to be educated.
I will educate you.
I
what
like
album should Kenny and I start with?
Don't Look Back.
Yeah, Don't Look Back.
Don't Look Back.
I
it's
feel like
awesome
Don't
album.
Look Back would kind of be the soundtrack for my life.
But then do I need to get like a mullet?
No.
And like yeah. long earrings.
Stop
and
it. See what you're doing?
They weren't
you're rejecting
rockers.
Before you're even listening. Just like your Xbox. You're rejecting before even playing.
Okay, see, the hard thing about a lot of the bands of the 70s A lot of the big hits that came out were only singles.
Yeah.
There was a period of time similar to what's happening now with digital music where, like the song September from Earth, Wind, and Fire, which was a fantastic song, was released as a B-side. It was kind of a throwaway song that just kind of caught fire, no pun intended, on its own. But I would say, if I had to pick for you, let me see. Earth, Wind, and Fire albums that people should check out. You know who else you might want to check out? And a lot of alternative fans hate him. Lenny Kravitz. Like old Lenny Kravitz. You should listen to some Lenny Kravitz.
Like, what are we considering old? Like,
I would say like pre American Woman.
Yeah.
I would say 90s Lenny Kravitz. Not 2000s Lenny Kravitz.
It ain't over till it's over.
Yeah. That I'm Lenny cool Kravitz. That. Yeah. That is a. Those albums are really, really good.
He's a little bit more like Prince back then. A little more melody.
A little bit more funky than Prince. There was a little bit more funk in what he was doing. But some people would probably argue that for sure.
You know, Phil's screaming his head off right now.
So. Okay, your Earth, Wind, and Fire albums that I would recommend to you. There's an album called I Am that came out in 1979.
Okay.
And there's another one that came out in 77 called All in All. Those are the two that I would start you with. Just listen to them.
I'll give it a shot. Unless I see a biopic about the band and how troubled they were, then I will. It's kind of like when I saw Walk the Line, I was like, hey, Johnny Cash is pretty cool. I'm going to go buy his discography.
Johnny Cash is cool.
Do you like Johnny Cash?
I do quite a bit.
Really?
That's so hipster, I almost can't say.
But I hate country.
No, for me, it's his American Records albums. It's all five of his more recent stuff, at least 10 years old.
I don't consider Johnny Cash country. I consider Johnny Cash Johnny Cash. It was different back then. Elvis was country at that point. You know, Jerry Lee Lewis was country at that point. It's just different. It just doesn't, to me, anyway, in my mindset, Johnny Cash is different.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's an honesty
Johnny
to what
Cash
he does.
Johnny Cash embodies what it means to be a cowboy in much of his music.
I don't think so. Like Hank Williams to me is like classic country.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not Johnny Cash.
But also Johnny Cash
to me is more rock and roll.
No, he was one of the like seven.
Greg?
He was one of the seven.
I'm staying
one
out of
the
this
seven.
Argument.
What do you mean? One of the seven what? Like wrath, envy, gluttony, Johnny Cash. Right?
Oh my gosh.
You know what you need to get? You need to get the Commodores. It's just the Commodores.
Okay. And it's not a greatest hits, right?
No.
I don't do greatest hits.
No, the Commodores that's back when Lionel Richie was their sax player.
Oh, okay.
And he was their chief songwriter. It's awesome. Just trust me on this.
I will try that out.
Okay. Is there anything else? I would say Boston, the Commodores.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably about 1,000 other bands I could recommend, but
this is kind of dumb, but Bob Marley, do you listen to any Bob Marley?
Bob Marley was ruined for me on my mission.
Okay.
Because half of my companions were Polynesian.
Okay.
And they all had guitars. And they all had CD players somehow.
That's another one of those things. I've got like 9 copies of Legend lying around.
Yeah.
I listen to Bob Marley all the time.
Cannot stand Bob Marley.
Okay. So that's ruined for you. There's no
totally
there's
ruined.
No cure. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Beach Boys are something completely different, and I'm glad that you got turned on to them.
Yeah, totally.
Greg and I have been big fans for years. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, check out their album, Smile.
I know who you need to get turned on to.
Wow. What's happening?
No. He is, in my opinion, and in Greg's opinion, to be honest, the greatest guitar player that has ever lived. In my opinion, this is who you need to get turned on to. Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never has a guy been able to take a kind of a big band swing orchestra, take classical music, and make them swing songs.
Not only that, I have, there's an album, The Dirty Boogie.
Yeah, great album.
When you're talking about an album, The Dirty Boogie is one of my top 5 greatest albums of all time.
Has a Jump Jive and Whale on there.
Yeah.
It's got a 6.5 minute long version, live version of Rock This Town from the Stray Cats. Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about swing is that to me, it's mood music. It has to be at like a certain time of year. I have to be feeling a certain kind of way. I can't just be like, yep, feel like swing music right now.
No, this isn't swing music. This is rock and roll.
From what I've heard of Brian Setzer, to me it's
rock and roll, man.
It's a big mix of...
And I like rockabilly okay.
Yeah,
but
it's a big mix of rockabilly and big band swing.
Listen, I'm going to... Again, this is what I want you to do. Don't worry about those labels. Just submit. Don't worry about the labels. Just listen to the music. Listen to the lyrics. Listen to the guitar work that's in this. I bought a Learn to Play Guitar Like Brian Setzer DVD, and I couldn't even make it past the tuning. That's how good this guy is.
I know. I have a couple Brian Setzer guitar books that I haven't even bothered trying to learn because I'm like, I'm not going to learn this.
It's insane.
It's way too complicated.
Insane. Hmm. What the guy's the greatest guitar player to ever. You know who else told me that? Kurt Hammett of Metallica told me the exact same thing. And Eddie Van Halen both said that. Both, no joke.
Hmm.
Said he's the greatest guitar player in the world. So just
maybe
we've lost everybody. Nobody's
yeah, I know, right?
Everybody's gone. Jess is on her phone. Well, nobody's paying attention.
I'm hoping the listeners will also like contribute.
Brian Setzer Orchestra is fantastic.
Well, Brian Setzer Orchestra, and then he's got some of his own solo stuff, which is just straight up rockabilly.
Yeah, which is also good.
Yeah.
Nitro Burning, funny, what Nitro?
Oh, yeah, 45.
I can't remember what that was, but yeah. I've got all this stuff. It's great.
Now you've lost me.
Well, I got to turn you on to this stuff, man.
I'm cool with it. No, I will take it. And that's particularly why I listen to Greg's show, because I'm like, I'm in a drought. I need something.
You haven't played any Brian Setzer in a while, son. You got to get some of that going.
I'm actually going to be playing him on my Christmas episode.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
His version of Jingle Bells is the best version of Jingle Bells ever.
Better than Barbara Streisand's?
Yeah, yes. Now listen, I've said this many times.
We're all, yeah.
Dig all the way, all funny, it's awful.
Well, and I was going to wait and surprise you with this, Chunga, but there's a new Brian Setzer Orchestra Christmas album.
Yeah.
I've already got it.
Oh, dude. See, listen, you've got to do this for me. You got to do this.
For you?
Yeah.
For me.
The Dirty Boogie. You got to listen to it.
Yeah. I'll do the Dirty Boogie.
I have this album, The Dirty Boogie, whenever I go from St. George to Vegas through, we call it Star Wars Canyon, The Dirty Boogie goes on. It has for 20 years, I've been, or however long it's been out. Anytime I hit that canyon, it's the Dirty Boogie.
Huh.
Every single time, without fail. That's how good this album is.
Okay, I'll try it out.
Whole album, dude. Okay, let's move on. Nobody cares.
So there were Thanksgiving movies I want to run through real quick.
Okay.
One, which has been out for a week now, and Jess actually saw it the other day, was Creed.
Oh, yeah.
With arms wide open.
Wait a minute, is that out? Is that out? Because I got a bunch of random texts from Sean Anders asking me about Stallone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing he went and saw Creed.
Yeah, he must have seen Creed.
Because I got him like 3 days after the fact, because I was doing stuff and I was in the studio, and so I didn't respond. Sorry, Sean, but... Yeah, I was like, what? Huh? I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And then I went, oh, Creed must have come out.
Yeah, so Creed is, it has Sylvester Stallone in it. It is essentially Rocky 7. The main star is Michael B. Jordan, who was in the recent Fantastic Four movie, and we don't want to talk about that. But he plays...
Wait a minute, there's a young black male named Michael Jordan?
Yeah, Michael...
That's creative.
Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
His middle name is just B.
Sure.
He's basically a general authority right now.
Yep.
So he plays Adonis Johnson, and he is the illegitimate son of Apollo Creed.
And
so
they named him Adonis?
Adonis.
Adonis, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, but it's Apollo.
That's a dumb
name. Well... He's his illegitimate son. Like, he didn't know about him. He was dead before he was born, actually.
Come on, man. Adonis.
Don't worry about it.
That's stupid. Call him Donnie.
Don't sweat the small. Don't say call him Donnie. It doesn't make it sound better, Jess.
Dumb. That sounds dumb.
It does. It's not dumb at all.
I bet they had to pick a name that Stallone could say a lot.
Hey, Adonis.
Adonis.
Hey, Adonis.
Adonis. Yeah, I could do that.
But no, it's sir. It's Donnie. Adonis.
Adonis. I can't name him Jaquan. Jamarius.
You can never say that.
No.
So this kid, he's in his 20s, and he's a pretty good boxer,
yeah.
But he only boxes in like Tijuana, just underground places.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to go again, by the way.
It's been a while. It was fun.
Yeah, don't eat the tacos next time, though.
I told you, don't.
Oh. Yeehaw. Anyways, so... Greg got it.
We all got it.
Jess didn't.
Jess really didn't. Jess is from Holden. She doesn't need to get it.
She should get it if she's from Holden.
Well.
Yeah. Donkeys?
Anyway.
Anyways. So.
This show sucks so bad. This show sucks so bad.
We had a week off. We're a little rusty.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. Okay, please continue.
Anyways, so he doesn't care for his dad because he's never known his dad. He right. died in Rocky right. IV, which right. is awesome. Uh-huh. And so he's never gone by the name Creed. If he did, he'd have a lot more publicity. He's always tried to just make it on his own, but he gets discovered. Everyone's like, hey, it's the son of Apollo Creed. We want him to fight the champion. Rocky is his trainer.
Because they could nobody, I mean nobody, the finest boxing minds could never figure out that a guy boxing with the name Adonis Creed.
No, it's Adonis Johnson.
Oh, yeah, okay, Adonis, yeah, would be Apollo Creed's kid.
And it's Don Johnson. But anyways, yeah, okay. Rocky is there most of the movie, training him.
Okay.
And it's old Rocky. He is very
it awesome?
Aged.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's
you're,
okay.
Were you a fan of the other Rocky movies?
Yeah, I love Rocky.
We know I Kenny do. Does.
More enthusiasm.
No, like, you love Rocky, you guys!
You can't say, I love Rocky. It's
no,
like,
I love Rocky.
Rocky, get out of town. Mm-hmm. Rocky V never exists, but everything else is incredible.
Uh-huh.
No, I really love Rocky. I do. So oh my gosh, this, Kenny, am I not excited like saying, enough for you? Oh,
I really love French vanilla ice cream.
I'm freaking done with Kenny tonight.
I really love Sprite. Like, you gotta be like, Rocky, hell yeah. Jess?
Oh my gosh, I don't love it that much.
I really love Sprite.
Like, no one's ever said I really love Sprite.
Spinari loves Sprite.
I do.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah,
he loves it.
I like Sprite.
What?
I like Sprite, but I don't like Sprite. I like the cheap knockoff that's Shasta Twist. So Jess says it's good. You say it's pretty good.
I say it's pretty good. It got a B+ from me, mostly because it's well-directed. Like, the fights are, the first couple fights, not the final one, you know how they always have the climactic fight at the end. But the first couple are one takes. Okay. It revolves around the fighters, and you're like, holy crap, how did they fake that?
Yeah.
Because it looks like they're punching each other. It's very well filmed. It's it's the best filmed Rocky movie. I think the first Rocky is obviously the best one, because story-wise, it's great. It kind of set the bar of what we know. This is Rocky VII.
Didn't it feel kind of slow to you?
Oh, no. They pack the whole second act with story and subplots that don't need to be there.
There was too much story, and I needed more fighting.
At any point, do you
I felt like they didn't spend enough time on the fights.
Do you see Stallone sitting on one of those chairs that helps him ride up the stairs?
Yes.
Kind of.
Really?
Kind of, yeah.
Really?
Kind of. That's even one of the stairs?
It's not going up fast enough. I gotta empty my pee bag.
They actually put him in one of those chairs up the stairs at the Capitol or whatever the stairs he walks up.
Yeah.
He gets up to the top.
Oh my gosh.
Prudes.
Instead of Adrian, he yells prunes.
Prunes. He yells pills. Pills.
So stupid. Oh my gosh, he's late.
So you gave it a B+.
People are saying this is like best picture quality.
I think the guys that did this, I don't know if Stallone did this. I don't know who it was that did this,
Producer.
But they were genius because it had instant credibility and people were really interested in going, like, right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I was, I kind of rolled my eyes when I saw it, but then everybody was like, oh no, I'm ready. I'm ready for another Rocky movie.
Jess is right. It gets boring in the middle, but where it needs to be great, for example, in the last fight, you're like, oh, this is a really cool fight. Then all of a sudden you hear, dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun, da, da, dun. And you're like, oh, your heart gets going. Like, this is why you can't say, I love Rocky. It's like, I love Rocky.
Sure.
Crowds start cheering.
I love the story of Stallone. I think it's circulating around the internet. If you haven't heard this story, it really is you can't really read it without crying about Stallone trying to get Rocky made.
Yeah, definitely.
How he tried and tried and tried to be an actor, and no one would hire him because of his look and because of his voice and everything else. And he was running out of money, and he wrote Rocky in an afternoon and shopped it around. And studios were immediately interested in it. He wrote it in a day.
That's
and
awesome.
People were like, well, we love this. We want to buy this script. Well, I'm Rocky. Well, no, you can't. No. You don't get to be Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm Rocky. Well, we'll give you $500,000 for it for you to not be Rocky. Nope, I'm Rocky. Meanwhile, he's homeless. And a lot of people didn't know this. Stallone is homeless and he has a pet dog. And he had to sell his dog to a guy at the liquor store so that he could eat. And he wouldn't sell his script. for $500,000 because he wanted to be Rocky so badly. And he starved and starved and starved. And finally, the studio relented and agreed to let him be Rocky.
Yeah.
Finally.
Super cool.
But he gave away the script for like 20 grand.
Wow.
And made no money.
Jeez.
And
he won an Oscar, though.
Under the promise. Well, he got back end on it. So he goes back to the same liquor store and waits for 3 days. This is like 2 years later. He goes back to the same liquor store in Philly where the guy was at where he sold his dog and said, I want my dog back. And the guy knows who he is now because Rocky's been out. And he's like, no, I'm not selling. No, I've got Stallone's dog. I'm not selling it.
Yeah.
And he goes, name your price. And so he bought his dog back for 25 grand. He
oh
had to.
Gosh.
Wow.
The guy screwed him at the liquor store. Whoever this guy is, he's just going right to hell.
Yeah.
But Stallone eventually bought his dog back. If you're not a Rocky fan, you hear that story.
Yeah.
You're a Rocky fan.
Yes.
Now. You know, you can't not be a fan of Rocky.
It's underdog all the way.
All the way. Yeah. I mean, the stories about an underdog, the true life behind Rocky, the script was an underdog story.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal all the way around. But I just don't know if I wanted to go see this or not.
No, it's worth seeing.
It is worth seeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fun.
Okay.
It's good.
It's really fun. Cool. Also, another one, Victor Frankenstein. This one has James McAvoy as the title character.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe as Igor.
Yeah, and this is a remake of the gothic tale Frankenstein, right?
Ish. It's a very modern take with Igor's narrative being the center. So it's like, I'm Igor, and I'm a hunchback at the circus, and this is how I started working with Dr. Frankenstein.
At any point do we see Harry Potter's junk in this? Because he likes to do that now.
Yeah, not in this one. It's PG-13.
Okay, good. Okay, that's
but
good.
He does have like this giant back zit that gets popped. That was the hunchback. It's a back zit.
What?
And it's disgusting. Ew. Yeah. No, don't worry about it. The movie feels like Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. a little bit.
Okay.
Mixed with
it's almost like a steampunk goth.
Mixed with Van Helsing. Very steampunk-ish.
Yeah, okay.
Really poor script. Really strange pacing.
I'm not down with it.
No one should be down with it. It's very skippable, except the chemistry between Daniel Radcliffe and James McAvoy. Fun to watch. And James McAvoy knows what a crappy movie he is in and goes wild with the role.
Like, it almost great, right?
I'm sitting there smiling at James McAvoy going, oh, thank you for just hamming it up. He is chewing every piece of scenery. And I'm like, thank you. Because he knows it's a crappy movie.
It's a money grab on his part.
He's just reveling in it.
Yeah.
So it's a skippable movie if you catch it for free on Netflix
someday.
It's
too bad because
someday.
They can't do, like, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an awesome movie.
It's
it
so
was
fun.
So good. Like, I can't read Killing Lincoln now because I'm waiting for the vampires to come in.
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's it's changed. Like, I'll read history or I'll watch a documentary on Lincoln and I'm like, well, where's the...
Yeah.
That's how they warped my mind, those guys that made that movie. But there's a new one coming out that's called PPZ.
Yeah.
Have you heard about PPZ?
Pride and Prejudice Zombies.
Oh,
Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yeah. Same author, Seth Graham
Smith. Same author, yeah.
That did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. It looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
I can't wait to... Jane Austen with zombies.
Yeah.
I hate Jane Austen. Hate her. Hate her. Her and Stephanie Myers.
I think Stephanie Myers would be honored to be put in that category.
She doesn't deserve to be.
With Jane Austen.
She's in that category because of hate. Not because of artistic talent. I don't like Jane Austen at all. No way, no how. But if there's a zombie in a Jane Austen movie, I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check it out. That looks cool.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done that with this Frankenstein. They would have made it cool like that. And that's what I was kind of thinking they were going to do.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, well, this is like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Except it's Frankenstein.
Yeah, and they've never been able to do it right.
No.
Like, I, Frankenstein last year was just a disaster.
Terrible. The one with De Niro in it was terrible.
Yeah, and that was probably one of the better ones.
And it was still with Kenneth Branagh and Bobby De Niro, terrible. I thought it was,
But there is an indie darling, and this is really going into my artsy-fartsy territory.
Oh, here we go.
But there's a movie called Brooklyn, which is out right now, and it's Saoirse Ronan. From Hannah. You guys have probably seen that.
Yeah, yeah. She's a great movie.
Yeah. Hannah's awesome.
Hannah's really good.
So Saoirse Ronan is
I liked Hannah,
is from Ireland. Yeah, me too.
It was good.
And she's from Ireland, and her life kind of sucks. It's Ireland in the 1950s. She's like, I'm going nowhere. My job sucks.
There's no potatoes.
There's no potatoes. And so she moves to New York. And this is when New York is kind of thriving. They're welcoming immigrants like crazy. And she moves into this very Irish population. And she's homesick. She's like, oh, well, now I don't like New York. It's too new. It's too bustling. She meets a guy. Things are going great. It's truly a love story. Has to go back home, which she never planned to do for, you know, there's a death in the family.
I've seen the trailers for this.
And then when she goes back home, she realizes, wow, back home, there's a great life that I was born for, or there's a life in New York that...
With this guy.
With promise and potential. I mean, it's the new world, basically. And so the movie is, it's kind of a love triangle, but it's more about, hey, do I stay where I'm comfortable? Or do I go where it's kind of scary, risky, and there's tons of potential? And I just sat there in this movie, and I'm like, that's just charming the pants off me. Like, I don't know. I don't know if
the trailer looks that way, too.
If it's the Irish thing, it's a very simple story, but I was totally captivated. It was strange.
It's a really weird period of time, and nobody really ever talks about it.
Yeah.
And I think they should, because it's a really important part of our nation's history.
It goes into the Irish and Italian immigrants.
Italian thing, yeah. You know, a lot of the, going back to the music choice, like the Dominic the Donkey Christmas song that drives everybody crazy came out during this time.
Okay.
A lot of the Rat Pack songs came out during this time because you had entire sections of New York City and Boston that were either Irish or Italian.
Yes.
And it's still very much that way. If you go to North Boston, it's all Italian. If you go to Southie, it's all Irish and Russian, like, meanies. So it's still very much alive if you're back east. If some people are listening back east laughing at us right now. But if you're out west, it's a really weird thing. But, yeah, that's and that's a part of our history that doesn't get enough discovery, I guess, or exploration, I should say.
But like, I was watching this movie and I'm going, man, whoever is in charge of releasing romantic movies, whether they're rom-coms or Nicholas Sparks adaptations, I'm like, you're really selling your audience short. Like, you're releasing drivel for these people go and see on Valentine's Day and just be like, yeah, that was a Nicholas Sparks movie where someone died. It's so
really
formulaic. And then I'm watching a movie like this where not many people will see it or even know about it. And I'm like, oh man, this is not my genre. This is the opposite of my genre. I'm a horror comedy guy, and I loved it. One of the 10 best of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. Would you go see a movie like this, Jess?
Yeah.
I didn't know if you're into chick movies like this.
I like chick movies. I might.
If I write about a chick movie and Jess comes back and she's like, it was terrible, I'll be like, yeah, here's my man card. Which I don't own.
All right. Well, that's occasionally I'll watch a chick flick. This would definitely be one of those.
Yeah, no, you should.
That I would watch.
Yeah.
What was the last one I watched that I loved? Love Actually is probably the last one.
Did you see About Time?
No.
It's not quite a chick flick. It's more of a family-centric movie.
Yeah.
You need to see it.
Okay.
It's a time travel romantic story.
All right. Oh, yeah, all right, Kenny.
It's phenomenal.
Is it really?
Phenomenal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so is there anything else that we need to go over?
I think that's it.
That's it for this week.
I hope the audience is still with us.
They're not.
Because they heard something funny about prunes, and that killed me.
Don't shop on Black Friday anymore. Go listen to some Earth, Wind, and Fire on the Commodores.
Stay out of the forest if you see bear cubs.
Stay out of the forest. Don't get the strep throat like Jess has.
I don't have strep.
Listen to Greg's Guide.
Listen to my podcast.
And Bash Music is coming up soon.
Awesome.
We hope that everyone will rather than control, will decide to submit and try and learn some new stuff. That's what I'm hoping happens with Bash Music.
If 50 Shades of Grey taught me anything, it's that I want to submit.
Yes, you do.
So I'm going to submit Bash Music.
And go listen to The Dirty Boogie because it's a fantastic album. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to podbash.com. Peace.